Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Morbid Moment.
Yo, yo, yo.
This is the Banter Podcast, where you won't learn enough to teach a college course, but you might learn enough to entertain your friends.
I like the Banter Podcast.
That's a thing.
Is that a genre?
Yeah.
I like it.
That's good. It's fitting. My name is Katie Nyborg, but everyone on the internet knows me as Stick. Joining me is Red, the tastefully uncredited.
Oh.
I know, kind of classy today.
Yeah.
And our fearful underling, Toki the Sound Guy, is also ready.
Not fearless?
No, he's quite fearful.
Oh.
You've met him.
Yeah.
Every other week, I bring us something mysterious and spooky to talk about from history, or at least, like, history adjacent.
I like that one, too.
For today's topic, we will be using a suggestion that was sent in to us by Natalie.
Yay!
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, Natalie.
You always bring us the best cryptids.
I'm excited.
I'm also excited, Red. Do you know why?
Because I have no idea what today's topic is going to be about.
That's a really good reason, but there's another reason I'm excited. It's because it's...
Is it because there's some sugar cookies made by my mom waiting for us after this podcast sitting on our counter right now?
That's another...
That's why I'm excited.
The reason... It's because it's October!
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Which means we're so close to Halloween! This is the best month for us just because every department store is actually catering to my aesthetic for once.
Yeah, we don't go Halloween shopping in October. We just kind of go shopping for stuff to
like normal clothing shopping.
Yeah, like decor, and
it's great.
Like our beloved spider candle. He just lives on our shelf 24/7.
Since it's October, let's talk about that most beloved of Halloween traditions, getting candy.
Trick-or-treating. Man.
The good shit.
Do people still even do that?
I hope so. I think so.
I hope so.
I would imagine it's only gotten, like, crazier and more intense since we were kids.
No, man.
No?
No, man.
You think they're slacking?
For one thing.
Share with me your trick-or-treating lore.
It's just not the wild frontier that it used to be. People care about health and safety now. It's really ruining the fun. So, like,
okay.
I think we were kids at the perfect time, right between, like, razor blades and safety.
Okay, I see where you're coming from.
Razor blades and granola bars maybe should be our...
Right. That's the sliding scale.
Yeah. Did you honestly not know this about trick-or-treating? That it has become safe and no fun?
I haven't actually been out trick-or-treating in years,
I stopped caring. You don't keep up with the trick-or-treat news?
My subscription to Trick or Treat Monthly has waned in recent months, yes.
Okay.
I've not kept up with the cool gossip from the street.
the trick-or-treat streets?
The kids with their candies and their safety vests.
Okay. Do you remember a few years ago, we were out getting animal food or something, and we saw all those trick-or-treaters, like, a day early, just kind of, like, wandering around the neighborhood, or not even around the neighborhood, like, around the block, like, in this parking lot, and there was, like, cars open where, like, they would go, like, from car to car picking up treats. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was the group of children, and we're like, Halloween's tomorrow?
Oh, and they were maybe going store to store in that little area.
Yeah.
That, from what I hear, is more and more commonly what trick-or-treating has become.
Oh, okay.
It's no longer packs of children, no matter where you live, roaming the countryside, knocking on everyone's doors. Everyone needs to be stocked with candy
to feed
the hordes.
More of a guided tour and less of a zombie apocalypse?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what I've heard. It's been a long time since I've been on actual trick-or-treating adventures or been at home on Halloween to see if trick-or-treaters are doing anything.
Right.
But from what I hear, it is much safer and tamer, done in the daytime.
Boo.
Done in ways that honor the fact that school might be happening the next morning. Like, it's just not nearly as fun as it used to be.
Okay.
When I was a kid, trick-or-treating was the one day that there were no rules and you could be outside after dark knocking on strangers' doors.
That's true.
And at least for us, we were allowed to take home as much candy as we could physically carry.
Oh.
Aside from paying a few toll payments to our uncles in the form of candy bars and chocolate.
Oh my God.
They demanded a tax because it was usually based out of our grandma's house. Sometimes they went with, and just to avoid torments. You know how your uncles would torment you as a kid?
No.
We would have to fork over some of our prized possessions.
I mean, that sounds like uncles I have heard of. Sure.
So is our goal here to discuss the nature of trick-or-treating?
No, I just wanted to, like, hear what your trick-or-treating, what is your trick-or-treating culture?
Yeah, because I think every family's different, maybe. Yes. There's a culture, as long as you're allowed to go trick-or-treating, there's, like, a culture that develops around it. Mm-hmm. Like, any good tradition that is based around resource gathering and competition, because that's how ours was.
Wow, okay.
We were allowed to keep all of our candy.
Right.
That didn't get stolen by adults. And we jealously guarded it.
Of course.
But each of us had different candy preferences. So naturally, a trade and barter system.
Oh, yes.
Evolves.
I think that is common for most children.
I hope that's universal.
Yes.
You know, certain candies are worth so many other candies.
Oh.
You know, 5 Tootsie Rolls for a...
like, I don't know, a full-size Snickers bar?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Or you got the good sour Skittles, and those are so hard to find.
I really valued the weird candy, the interesting stuff.
Everyone gives you their fucking Pez and those weird chalk ones that no one likes.
Yeah, or like the...
you're that guy.
Yeah. And I didn't like plain chocolate, so I would trade away my Milky Ways and my plain Hershey bars and those fucking Crunch bars that...
I love Crunch bars!
See, and you would have been my perfect trading partner.
It's true.
This system got so advanced, it was so pivotal to our interaction as children, that we would even involve our toys. I remember having, like, my little toys as the merchants.
Oh my God.
And the actual... you wonder why I go on to play... resource managing and city builder games.
Yeah.
But I would make little piles of different types of candy, and I'd have my little toys guard it, and they would bring over their toys and actually make trades.
What? Wow, this is a lot deeper than I thought it would be. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, like this was a fully developed civilization.
Wow.
That would erupt after Halloween.
I was sort of joking about your culture, but you really have a whole...
literal, like, with civilians and a hierarchy system.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Currency. Standard currency.
Okay. Let me share with you my Halloween trick-or-treating experience. So, I remember far back in the distance, when I was a wee little kid, I used to have sort of the traditional trick-or-treating experience. So you go around, you get all the candy, you come back, you get your candy, you eat it. That's how trick-or-treating works.
Yep, you described trick-or-treating.
But at a certain stage, my mom got really into health foods and us not eating a bunch of crap, which, to be fair, is very good for us. And my brother was very hyperactive as a kid, so anything we could do to not feed him a bunch of sugar that would make him crash hard later was probably for the best. Mm-hmm. But it meant that everyone had to play by the same rules, including me, who was very, very bitter about this for most of my childhood. So there was a sad Halloween where we gathered up as much candy as we could. My mom said, okay, you have to give me all of your candy, because I'm not going to let you have all this sugar, but you get to keep, like, your 5 favorite or something like that. I know. Like, how do you pick, out of all of my children,
right?
How can I pick my favorites?
I've heard where, like, you can keep as much fits in a gallon bag.
No.
But this was...
no. So I had next to no candy. I think my mom may have made some trade, like maybe she offered money in exchange for my candy. But when you are 12, you don't want money.
Well,
you don't want
money on candy.
Yeah, like no amount of money she could have given me would have been worth the beautiful bounty of treasure
the
that
hard
I had
earned,
handpicked myself.
Sweat, blood, and tears.
Yes.
Earned.
So I was very sad about this. But then I have a friend who hooked me up.
A best friend, apparently.
I got a dealer who was like, hey, I don't actually like Halloween candy, especially not chocolate, so I'll give you mine. And I was like, oh, holy shit. So I thought that I was just going to get like a couple of handfuls of like extra chocolate that she didn't want. And she gave me a pillowcase full of Halloween candy that she was not going to eat and her mom wasn't going to eat because they both don't like chocolate.
Oh my God.
And I stashed it under my bed where I knew no one would find it. And I carefully, secretly maintained this like stash of Halloween candy that no one could know about.
Oh my God.
It was my secret.
Your illicit contraband.
My illegal chocolate. And I just, you know, would have like a couple every once in a while. I'm like, I'm going to make this last.
Just crawl under your bed, hide with your chocolate.
And that was me as a kid. Basically summed up as me under the bed, like sneaking chocolate bars. Like a rabid animal.
Like Gollum.
Yes.
You're precious.
So when I think about trick-or-treating and Halloween candy, I think that experience actually stands out for me the most. It's just that one sad Halloween where I thought I wasn't going to get any candy.
Oh, my God.
And then someone came through for me.
Man,
and by a miracle, I got so much.
I don't know what I would have done. We were also very particular about our trick-or-treat bags because there was so many years where the bags weren't big enough.
Ugh.
Or the handles would break.
God. There's nothing sadder than one of those little pumpkin baskets that's just way too full and way too heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. Each year, we as a sibling triad would go to our parents and be like, all right, here are our demands for this year. This is what we would like to see improved. And the adults would try to meet our demands. Bigger, better bags, because if the bags were too small or the handles broke, they would have to hike us back to home base to change it out or dump it out, and it was just so much work for them. So they were also motivated to meet our technological demands for trick-or-treat bags.
Listen, when you're poor, candy's a big fucking deal, okay?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So,
all right.
I think we've talked enough about Halloween candy. This has been delightful.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing. I think it's a good time for us to go into our topic.
All right. I'm so excited. I know two things about today's topic.
Yes.
One, that it's French.
Yes.
And two, unfortunately related to that, was you bragging that you think you can pronounce these ones.
Okay, yeah. Well, I probably doomed myself just by saying that, but I think I can pronounce these ones.
She's like, I think I can pronounce these ones. Thank goodness. It's only French.
I took French.
Wait,
for
we need to pause while the audience laughs.
Oh. I took French for some years in college. I mean, middle school. That's very different.
All right. I mean, you're just digging your own hole here. I mean, keep going.
All right, Red. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever wondered why silver kills werewolves?
I was about to say, I assumed it was based on the iron-killing fairies thing. But that doesn't make any sense, and I also don't know why iron kills fairies.
Well, I'm going to answer one of the questions, not the fairies one.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to learn a thing! I'm going to learn a thing, you guys!
Let's get into it! Are y'all ready? That's a rhetorical question, because you can't answer. We're going to France! This is the early summer of 1764. France had just finished up the Seven Years' War. I like this voice. I'm going to keep using it. However, they didn't do so hot in the war at all. They kind of lost real bad.
Oh.
It was not good. King Louis XV had lost most of the French overseas empire.
Okay.
So, including Canada. Sorry, Canada. So everyone in France was pretty broke and embarrassed. It was just a bad time for everyone, economically, politically, emotionally. We're going to be focusing specifically on Gévaudan, which is a region of France that sounded pretty rough to live in.
Okay.
The terrain was mountains.
Oh, so literally rough.
Like literally craggy.
like texturally.
lots of hills, lots of valleys, lots of craggy areas.
Okay.
Not great for farming.
Mm-hmm.
Soil was generally just kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of woods, a lot of forest. Very mysterious.
All right.
The climate was chilly because it's France.
Okay.
So I was just kind of balls cold all the time.
Specifically.
And there was a population living in the area, but it wasn't like a bustling population. It's more of like a small mountain
hamlets
area. Yeah, small villages, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Because no one really wants to live there. That's just sort of where they end up.
Got it.
So it's here that our story begins.
Cool.
One day, a woman was taking care of her cattle in the forest in the eastern part of Gévaudan.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, she spotted something coming toward her.
Werewolves. It was werewolves. You said it was werewolves.
She described it as a large, wolf-like creature with reddish fur, small ears, a dog-like head, and a long tail. So, maybe werewolves. It seemed like it was going to attack her or the cows. It was very, mm-hmm. Aggressive. But the bulls in the herd chased it away once and then twice, and then eventually it sort of fucked off and ran back into the forest.
Okay.
But then, a few days later, a 14-year-old girl was killed not far from where the first attacks had been.
Mm-hmm.
Some sources claim that her body had been dragged off into the woods by something with nothing left behind but her bonnet and clogs.
Oh!
For months after that girl's death, more attacks were reported throughout the region.
Mm-hmm.
The targets were primarily people who looked after livestock out in the forest,
mm-hmm.
Mostly women and children, but mm-hmm. sometimes it would also go after, like, lone men.
Okay.
Which makes sense from a predatory standpoint.
Yep.
And there are varying accounts of what these attacks were like. So people who survived, and there were survivors.
Okay.
That was
my first question.
Yep. They mostly agree that this thing was kind of wolf-like, but definitely not one of the wolves that they're used to seeing.
Okay.
Because this is France. They had a lot of wolves.
Yes.
Wolf attacks are kind of a French thing. But they know what these normal wolves in the region look like, and everyone was like, yeah, that's not...
And it was reddish?
Everyone agreed it had reddish fur with black streaks along its back.
Oh.
Which is, again, not the color of the wolves native to the area. Mm-hmm. Those are mostly gray.
Mm-hmm.
It also had a wider snout.
Whiter or wider?
Wider. More wide.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes described as looking more like a cow's.
Oh.
Nose shape, okay. Size than like a skinny or dog face. And then some reports also say that it seemed like it had weirdly long hair for a wolf. So for the people who did not survive the attacks, the way in which they were killed also varies. Mostly the deaths were extremely bloody. Often they'd find the victim's throat torn open.
Yikes.
Sometimes their faces were bitten off, or like in some cases their heads were ripped off.
Oh. Okay, so far I'm like, okay, animal, heads ripped off.
And then some stories make it sound like people were devoured entirely, such as the body going missing or...
Yeah, remains just... never found.
Yes. So people started freaking out.
Some sort of weird, long-tailed bear hyena.
People are nervous
mm-hmm.
as they are being picked off by a weird, long-tailed bear hyena. and they're in the middle of nowhere, and there's danger everywhere. So, mm-hmm. fair. Lucky for them, newspapers... or like the 18th century equivalent of newspapers at the time, were just starting to find their footing.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, most political news was censored by the monarchy. So the newspapers had to turn to more local scandals and dramatic accounts of like small town crime to retain an audience. Kind of got a little tabloidy. And it was kind of like how true crime podcasts are really popular right now. Yeah, definitely trending in the 1760s. Which is why, when newspapers started picking up that a mysterious, terrifying beast was going after the poor women and children in Gévaudan,
mm-hmm.
it started getting a lot of hype. and the rest of France started following the story of a terrifying wolf creature devouring dozens of innocent people in a rural area. And then the things out of this that were really popular were, like, the stories about women and children who actually survived attacks by, like, defending themselves against the monster.
Oh, yeah. Because
it was like, woo, go peasants!
Yeah.
It sucks for everyone, but, like, yeah, we're doing it! Go team peasant!
Everybody likes a good underdog story.
Yeah. So, January 1765, we've now rolled over into the next year.
Okay.
A guy named Jacques and seven of his friends were attacked by the beast while they were out hunting.
Ooh.
But valiantly, they were able to drive it away by standing, you know, grouped close together and, like, fighting them off. This is one of the few victories against this beast, so it was a huge story. And it was, it got around so much that it even caught the attention of King Louis the 15th,
wow,
I mentioned earlier, who was so moved that he awarded Jacques with a bunch of money and offered to send him to rich people school for free.
Oh, well, dang.
I know. At this point, I think he was probably just making, like, a PR move.
Yeah.
But whatever his motive was, he officially decided, hey, this is a cause I can get behind. I'm going to step into this whole Beast of Gévaudan thing.
Okay.
He decreed that the French state and the crown would help find and kill this monster.
Wow.
So first, he sends in a guy called Captain Duhamel. He's leader of the local infantry, and he was sent in to organize some attacks against the beast.
All right.
Let's get some order in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some military in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take this dude out.
Let's try to wage war against this beast, since waging war against other things didn't go so well.
Yeah. So about that.
Mm-hmm.
The wiki entry describes him as being, quote, extremely zealous in his efforts.
Oh, good.
So,
good.
He was also backed up by what may have been, like, 30,000 volunteers.
Excuse me?
That's the number I kept seeing floating around the internet, is that there were tens of thousands of people that all stepped in to be like, yeah, I'll help. Fuck this guy. Let's get him.
Okay.
So it's not like he was on his own in this let's go kill the beast thing.
I saw the movie. It's a whole bunch of people.
It's a whole mob. We don't like what we don't understand it. Okay. However, this dude, Captain Duhamel, he had a difficult time with Gévaudan.
Okay.
Like, for one, the terrain here, as I mentioned, is extremely difficult. Like, he didn't know the area. He didn't know how to get around. It was just physically hard to, like...
He's like, let's go get this monster. Oh, there's a lot of rocks here.
Let's go kill the beast. Oh, hang on. How do we... Do we climb this? Oh, fuck. This isn't flat. I'm lost. This guy also apparently kept getting frustrated with the farmers and the villagers and all of his volunteers because they were not being particularly
soldierly
helpful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, he was a military strategist. He had plans. He had battle experience. He also had a lot of pride. He'd fought in the Seven Years' War. You know, it didn't go so well. So now he's like, gosh, I must regain my honor. I'm very French. I cannot stand this blow to my manly pride. So, yeah, I'm sure he was, like, really hoping in his mind, in his little mind theater, he was really hoping to kill the beast and come back to France a hero.
Yes.
And, you know, be buds with the king who sent him on this mission. But the peasants and farmers were, like you said, they're just peasants and farmers who lived out in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
So I imagine it was like, what are these peasants and farmers? They will not do what I say. No, in a V formation. V formation. And the peasants are like, well, damn, Jerry, he keeps saying we gotta do something called strategy. I don't know what that... I brought my pitchfork. We're not just gonna stab it.
Hang on. I gotta go take care of the goats for like 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Ma, be quiet. I'm trying to talk to the general. I cannot work with these people. I'll do less of this French accent.
This offensive French accent.
It's offensive French accent. It's not good.
Just in case you guys didn't know, it's not good.
I just love this quote that I found. Quote, on several occasions, he almost shot the beast, hampered by the incompetence of his guards. It sounds like you're just projecting to me, buddy.
I was gonna say, no, it was not like that guy over there, that stinky peasant, he...
How dare he? So, some of the things he did to try and catch the beast included organizing patrols, poisoned bait, and having soldiers dress as peasant women in hopes of attracting the beast.
No, you know what? I was about to compare this to a Looney Tunes cartoon, and I was gonna say, all they have left to try is dressing up like women.
Yoo-hoo! Beast of Gévaudan!
I'm so helpless!
I'm so tasty!
I'm just gonna be over here tending to my delicious sheep! There's no army waiting for you over here, teehee!
So none of this worked.
God, where's the Acme rockets? Where's the...
Oh, damn, I left the Acme rockets at home.
Where's the motorized roller skates?
That would have done it.
Where's my giant rock traps?
I also found a mention of him trying to set up a trap for the beast in, like, one particular village, and then the villagers just, like, didn't show up, or they weren't ready, like, when the beast rolled around. And so, quote, his frustration was hard to describe.
That's how they described it?
Yeah.
They're watching him just contort, and they're like, how do I even... We haven't even invented words
this
for
guy,
this
like,
yet.
gurgling. Like, man, he looks bad.
Did he just turn inside out?
Eventually, the reward offered for someone killing the beast equaled a year's salary.
Oh my gosh.
For a workman in France at the time.
Look, you peasants won't have to work for a year if you just get your shit straight.
So King Louis is like, hey, I kind of said I'd take care of this problem, so we need to get on this. If you could just hurry this up so I don't look bad.
We don't need this to turn into the 7-year war against a beast.
So, in February, the Denevals were sent in. They are a father-son duo.
Oh-ho!
Of professional wolf hunters from Normandy.
Oh, are we introducing new characters?
Yes, we are.
God, I want this to be a movie so bad.
Oh, it writes itself. So, Denevall Sr.
Uh-huh.
Boasted that he had already killed 1,200 wolves. So they were confident that they could get the job done.
Okay.
Over the next 4 months, they hunted for Eurasian wolves, assuming mm-hmm. that this was the monster,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
Yep.
But no matter how many wolves that they killed, the attacks continued. They also killed a lot of wolves and severely damaged the population of wolves in France in general. On top of that, they had trouble working with Captain Duhamel, who was still there.
Okay.
Because the captain liked to organize hunting parties.
This is my crime scene. You feds, get out of here.
Well, the Denevals believed that stealth was the only way to hunt the wolf.
Oh, God.
So
we have military versus, like, stealth hunter ranger dudes.
Yeah. So the constant arguing may have hindered their progress a little bit.
No. It's all the uncooperative peasants. It's not their fault at all.
No. Speaking of uncooperative peasants, let's interrupt this program to bring you a boss-ass lady moment.
Are we introducing another character?
Yes, we are.
Oh!
They're going to be in and out, though.
Oh,
but they will win over your heart.
Well, of course, it's a female character. They're not going to, like, really write her in. They just need to hit their quota.
I would like to point out Marie-Jeanne Vallée, a Gévaudan local. On August 11th, 1765, she was crossing a wooded area between two branches of a river when she turned to discover the beast right behind her. Quote, from a Smithsonian article, as it reared up for an attack, the young woman plunged a homemade spear she had been carrying into its chest. Injured, but not dead, the beast raised its paw to the injury, crying out loudly, and then rolled off into the waters of the river.
Dang!
Her victory was highly celebrated, so much so that she earned herself the title Maiden of Gévaudan.
Okay, they could have picked something a little bit more badass. We'll call you the girl of our town.
A lady!
Ta-da!
But there is a statue in her honor in the village of Avers in southern France still standing today.
Oh, cool.
It's really dope. She's like spearing the wolf in the chest and the wolf's like lunging at her.
And
so while these fancy French dudes are busy arguing about how to kill stuff, we got this chick over here being like, oh,
shake.
Holy shit, stab. And the guy being like, rawr. It's the beast falling into
the hand puppet motion of him diving off to the side was the best part.
And it translates very well on the podcast.
Yes. Good audio.
Now, back to the dumb men. So June rolls around.
Uh-huh.
And the king is like, guys, seriously,
guys,
you're
like,
making me look
real
bad. This is a PR nightmare.
This is embarrassing.
So he replaces both of them, both sets of dudes.
You're out.
Replaces him with a man named Francois Antoine.
All right, he sounds impressive in French.
Yep, he's the king's personal gun bearer and lieutenant of the hunt.
Oh.
He's not as colorful as the other two. He's actually sounds like kind of a badass. So,
okay.
In September, Antoine successfully killed a large gray wolf that he presumed to be the beast. I had to translate these from metric to imperial because fuck. But this wolf was 2 feet and 6 inches high,
mm-hmm.
5 feet 7 inches long.
Okay.
Weighed 130 pounds.
All right.
For those of you who have no reference, this wolf was said to be pretty big for the species.
Mm-hmm. In that area, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he basically said that this is the biggest wolf he's ever seen. So this is the guy.
Got him.
Clearly. The wolf corpse was stuffed and sent back to Versailles for the king to gaze upon.
Ah.
And Antoine stayed behind for a little bit because he's a badass. And he gets the job done.
We see, season 2 was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So we needed to
a reason
have that.
To...
Yep.
While he was hunting for this giant wolf, he learned that it had a lady friend wolf.
Oh.
And 2 large cubs.
Really?
So he wanted to stay behind to make sure that they were also dead.
Okay.
So he eventually succeeded in tracking down and killing the female wolf and one of the cubs, which he described as already looking bigger than the mother. So it was a big boy.
And it did have a wolf wife.
Yep.
Huh.
And then after examining the cub, it appears to it appeared to have a double set of dew claws, which
really?
I have read is a hereditary malformation found in
Beaucerons. Oh, Beaucerons?
Yeah.
Okay. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Beauceron trait.
All right. Red. Extrapolate.
No, Beaucerons are these really cool, rare French breed. People usually, like, they see a Beauceron, like, at a dog show or whatever, and they assume that it's, like, a mixed breed Doberman.
Sure.
So they kind of look like Dobermans, but different, and they do have double dew claws.
So I mentioned 2 cubs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Another cub was shot, but not confirmed killed.
Okay.
Antoine believed that he must have died while retreating back into the mountains because he did shoot him.
Okay.
He was looking bad.
Okay.
So he was like, okay, good enough. Business taken care of. He returned to Paris and was a big hero.
Got
a large sum of money and received fame and fancy titles. And I'm sure that the other two guys were like, oh, damn it.
Why didn't the peasants screw him over too? I have to say, I like how our bad French accents just sound like strong bad.
They do!
Oh, these peasants!
Oh, it's
ruining my life!
In the way. Well.
So, please tell me there's a season 2.
No, everything's fine. That's where the story ends.
The end?
The end.
Dust off our hands?
Yep, everything's fine.
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happened.
Except until
in December.
All right.
2 boys were attacked by the beast.
Mm-hmm.
One was 6 and one was 12, and weirdly they were able to fight it off. According to this story.
Okay.
So, like, the Beast
superhero was, children?
Beast was trying to grab, like, the youngest one and, like, drag it away.
Uh-huh.
But the older boy, I guess, fought it off and successfully scared it back into the forest.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Sounds fake, but okay.
Sounds fake, but okay. But other attacks followed after
okay.
this. That did not end nearly as well for the people being attacked.
Mm.
And then shepherds who saw the attacks around this time also said that the beast was showing no fear around the cattle at all.
Ooh.
Whereas before he had been kind of nervous about, you know,
being trampled and gored by bulls. Yeah.
Yeah. But now this beast is like balls to the wall. Don't give a fuck.
It's winter now, right?
Yes.
He's maybe cold and hungry.
A dozen more deaths are reported to have followed in the next year and a half.
Dang.
It's about one a month.
Wow, the year and a half. So he's around a whole nother year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now it's time for the season finale. Enter local hunter named Jean Chastel.
Mm-hmm.
June 19th, 1767.
All right.
During a hunt that was organized by local noblemen, because they're not really getting help from the king anymore, because
right.
they fixed it.
Yep.
It's fine.
Yep, everything's done.
They still have locals trying to take this thing down. This guy, Jean, he successfully shot and finally killed the Beast of Gévaudan. Stories of the beast had taken on, like, a supernatural flavor at this point, because this thing seems immortal.
Mm-hmm.
It seems scary.
Uh-huh.
It is unknowable. And many people believed that the reason that Jean Chastel was able to finally slay this beast was because of one particular detail, and that is that he shot the creature with a handmade, large-caliber silver bullet.
Oh.
So, cannot 100% confirm that this is where this stems from, but some historians do point to this moment, this story here, as being a source for the myth that werewolves are weak against silver.
So far, they think that this came before the silver werewolf myths and not the other way around.
Yes.
Oh. What happened to the body?
I'm excited to tell you. So the beast was picked up by a surgeon nearby, who more or less did an autopsy of the creature.
Cool.
The official report was this.
I'm so excited.
Translated again into Imperial from Metric, because fuck. It had a flat mouth and fine snout. This is a quote, by the way, it's going to be a little weird. Short ears, gray-red hair crossed by black bands, white mark on the chest.
Huh. 118
pounds.
Oof.
Size, head to tail, 8 feet.
Yeah, that's that long tail they were talking about.
Opening of the mouth measured 7 inches. Which I imagine is the length from the top of the mouth to the bottom of the mouth if you open it all the way.
Yep, too bad they didn't put in the degrees, but yeah.
And then when they opened it up, the animal's stomach was shown to contain the remains of its last victim.
What, like last human victim?
Yes.
Dang.
By the end of this, nearly 100 people were killed by the beast, although some stories and articles will take that as high as like 300.
Okay.
It really varies.
Right.
Confirmed kills versus unconfirmed kills.
Right.
The body was stuffed and sent to the king, but unfortunately it was so thoroughly deteriorating by the time that they got there that no one was able to 100% identify what kind of creature this was. I know, it hurts. But that doesn't stop us from fucking trying to figure it out anyway.
This is my least favorite kind of mystery.
It also doesn't help that all of the illustrations of the creature from the time just look fucking demonic. Like, if you ever want to laugh,
that's one of the monsters from Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, just Google Beast of Gévaudan. and you'll see a bunch of like crazy demon looking dog things.
For us, can you spell Gévaudan?
Yes, I can. It is G E V A U D A N. The E has one of those little dashy things over it.
And it's G and not J?
It's a G.
Oh, okay.
So, Rad, I want to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your theory? I know you've been working on it this whole time.
I mean...
What are some guesses?
I assume that the most common theory is a wolf dog.
Okay.
That's my guess.
That is a very common theory.
Because hybrid strength...
Hybrid strength, hybrid size.
The really bonkers way that sometimes hybridization with domestic animals can cause their behavior to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a burn on wolf dogs, so don't at me. is that how the kids use that phrase?
That's the hip lingo. Well done.
Yeah, but like a bunch of it doesn't match up mm-hmm. with the description.
Mm-hmm. It's
genetically
tricky.
Speaking.
All right.
I can't think of off the top of my head a carnivore that would be even remotely in the area that it could be.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to explore this with you. This is your expertise. Mm-hmm. This is your world.
Because, like, hyena doesn't fit. Maned wolf doesn't fit. Aardwolf doesn't fit. It's got a long tail, so it's not a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any... prehistoric animals on the list?
We're gonna go into all of this.
Because prehistoric animals, I could see...
Shall I dive into our various options? Should
What's
I?
What's the...
Red?
Huh?
Hi.
What?
Welcome
Hi.
Back. I need you to come back now. Let me start talking to you about the various theories.
Okay.
So, no alien theory in this one that I found.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought that was a shoo-in.
No. But there are a couple of wild ones that will mm-hmm. make up for it.
All right,
so.
Okay. Okay.
First off, as early as December 1764, rumors were circulating that the attacks were being carried out not by one creature, but by multiple creatures.
Okay.
Possibly acting as a team.
Okay.
Some more modern analysis of the accounts of attacks suggests that some sightings of the beast included more than one of them.
Okay.
Another analysis shows that there's a number of reports where there are two separate attacks reported as happening at the exact same time.
Okay.
This could be, like, you know, it's 17, and reporting is not super great or accurate.
Right.
But it could also be evidence to say that, like, maybe...
There might have been a pack or a family group.
A pack or two of them working to, you know,
yes.
attack two different things at the same time. And this is also further supported by the fact that our guy Antoine, mm-hmm. you know, wounded a cub that may or may not have died.
Right.
And then he came back later, so maybe this is a whole family
right.
event of whatever it was. You know, and the cub came back to eat people.
Mm-hmm.
He was pissed. As for what these creatures were, though...
Yes.
The only thing that everyone agrees on is that it, like, cannot just be a common everyday wolf.
Yes.
There's just too much wrong.
Yeah.
And the natives of the area all know what wolves look like.
Right.
So that's, we can just rule that right out. Hot take from Captain Duhamel. In his own words, this thing had a breast as wide as a horse, a body as long as a leopard's, and fur that was red with black stripes. You will undoubtedly think, like I do, that this is a monster, the father of which is a lion. What its mother was remains to be seen.
Right.
So he was leading this hybrid theory, which is popular.
Yeah.
So the theory is that two large animals bred a weirder, stronger animal that, like, no one is able to correctly identify because it doesn't quite look like anything
right.
that either of them have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time, like you said, a lot of people thought that it was probably some wolf-dog hybrid. Mm-hmm. It could have also been someone's weird exotic pet accidentally got loose, like bred with a wolf, created this crossbreed monster thing, bada bing, bada boom.
Uh-huh.
However... folks have also pointed out that there aren't many things that can crossbreed
yes.
with wolves.
Yes.
And usually, the cubs that come out of it end up smaller than the wolves, not bigger.
But that's not always true because of hybridization works.
Some
Look at ligers.
Some people have been like, brown bear with mange? But yeah. Like you said, the tail's way too long.
Yeah.
Another theory that you won't like.
Okay.
Male lion that escaped captivity?
That sucks.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't really match up to any of the descriptions.
No. It's just, that's the worst. They didn't even say tiger.
It's kind of funny that David Ahn was like, yes, this is clearly half lion. Like, what do you want, dude?
Oh, no, half lion I could see because that's what they think of when they think of something large and feline. But escaped lion from that one makes no sense.
Escaped like, lion from the
other
zoo?
Dude, no. It's bullshit.
You don't,
it's
wrong. Wow.
Straight up wrong. Wow. 0%.
Okay. Hot take from Red. All right, everyone on Reddit. Red's coming for you. You mentioned prehistoric animals?
Yes. Catrophilus, cave bear, dire wolf.
Popular theory?
Okay.
You know, just some weird prehistoric animal that just happened to survive in the French woods undiscovered until it started eating people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, possible. I find that one a little unlikely, but... what do I know?
Nothing, you know nothing.
I know nothing. I am but a fool on the internet. And then the strongest argument that I have heard, and that I happen to like the best, I'm a little biased here, about the Beast of Gévaudan, was that it was a hyena.
Hyena.
So, hyenas, they're super smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're really fast.
Mm-hmm.
They make lots of weird, scary sounds, and sometimes sound like humans. Which is just creepy and cool.
I was going to say, was that in the lore at all, or is that just
scary?
No, it's
scary? Just fucking scary. You know, they kill things by ripping chunks out of them until they bleed out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, say, their necks.
Mm-hmm.
They would totally devour an entire human body if they could.
That's the thing. Like, they would devour all of these things.
Yes. Which, you know, some stories...
okay.
They say that the bodies were missing, or they were pretty much entirely eaten. Or I could also see them taking a corpse and just dragging it off into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Hyenas sort of look like dogs, but don't really look like dogs.
The face and the small ears and the stripes all fit.
Wide faces, scary teeth, the colors. Mm-hmm. Plus, here's a fun fact, rich people loved owning hyenas around this time.
Really?
Yes, it was very in to keep hyenas as exotic pets.
I was gonna say, I could not fathom how a hyena got to France.
Oh, it was chic. It was like, you know, like owning elephants or owning other weird things from Africa.
Huh.
So, I've heard people say it could have been a spotted hyena.
Uh-huh.
Could have been a brown hyena because they're a little smaller and might look more like wolves. Yeah. Some people also even point to a long-haired species of hyena that's now completely extinct.
Oh.
But may have been hanging around a little bit in Europe at the time.
So it's not a species that is known of?
It did exist once.
Okay, so this is one that they do know
about. I think it has a
about.
Name, yeah.
Oh.
You might want to fact check me on this one.
Okay.
Red, if you find it, put it on the Facebook page for other people.
Okay, because I was going to say there isn't a hyena species that fits this exactly. Like, pretty far from it. There's characteristics that fit a hyena, but not a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then how would a hyena get there? So if that's a thing, that answers both of those two sticking points for me.
Yeah, you know, maybe a few hyenas just rolled out of a circus somewhere. Or it could have been a small pack of hyenas that took a really, really wrong turn at Albuquerque.
And didn't start killing people until they got to remote France?
I don't know.
But then my other thing is, if people are owning hyenas...
yep.
How does no one know that this is a hyena? But if people in France are owning hyenas at this point, how has nobody been like, excuse me, I'm pretty sure that's a hyena.
You know, there's a lot of mysteries, and I don't have all the answers.
Why not? You're a podcast host.
Look, if I start claiming I have the answers, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
We're going to have to change our whole podcast, yeah.
So, are you ready for the weird one?
Yes.
So, the theory is that this beast or beasts were part of a larger plot.
Uh-oh.
Some people theorize that the beast was some nobleman's pet that they trained to attack people, maybe even to deflect attention away from their own crimes.
What?
The whole thing was a con.
What?
There's a serial killer going around having his trained weird wolf-dog hybrid eat people, or his trained hyena devour peasants for kicks and or to deflect from his own crimes.
His crimes being the people eating, or is he like off doing something else? And he's like, well, just in case they catch me, I'm gonna go turn my dog loose in the woods.
Either or whatever gets you jollies.
What?
And then I read one person's theory, which, to be fair, like, this was more of them being like, I'd like to believe it's this, and not like their hard and fast aliens are real theory. But they have this headcanon that the attacks were all planned by a group of people who are working to undermine the reputation of the crown by creating a political disaster that King Louis would never be able to recover from.
Oh my god, you like, guys.
Old-timey France Illuminati.
Like, oh man, I know what'll get him.
This masterful, carefully planned attack on remote French peasants will really get that king.
Man, I thought aliens were gonna be the bad one.
Nope.
Conspiracies. Okay.
So that's sort of the range and
wow, what a range.
You know, everything from, I don't know, it was just a mutant wolf to
I'm caught between crazy wolf dog and some hyena that shouldn't be.
Like, I love them both. And it's a shame that we will never know.
Either way, I'm gonna have to draw them or something.
And when you draw them, we will look at them and love them. That's not the way I wanted that sentence to go.
It sounded like it.
So I think we should wrap this up.
Yep.
If you want to help us make even more episodes about stuff like this, about old salty French dudes, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. That like really, really helps us out, helps us grow our audience. It's the best way to get our podcast out there.
Tell a friend.
Let your family know. If you've got that one coworker.
Yeah, that coworker that put up that little cute little plastic jack-o'-lantern on their desk like a month too early.
Yeah, you know the one.
You probably are that one, let's be honest.
So share it with your friends, with your family, whatever, whoever, strangers. I don't really care.
Really, just like.
Spread the word.
Grab a stranger. Push one of our mixtapes into their hands.
And then if you've got a topic that you want to hear us talk about, go ahead and email it to us.
I'd love suggestions.
That's at morbidmomentpodcast@gmail.com. You can have another suggestion episode like this one.
Yeah.
Now, to end our episode on a positive note.
Mm-hmm.
Red.
I got a thing. I got a feel-good thing.
You got something to feel good?
Yes.
All right.
So, as you know, but really only as a few people who have listened to our very early episodes know,
I volunteer
for World Vision. It's my favorite humanitarian organization. It's literally one of the only ones that I trust, and I've been a volunteer with them for a very long time. Earlier this month was our yearly volunteer conference for World Vision.
Yay!
It was so good, you guys!
Yay!
And it just kind of reminded me of the excellent, complicated, sometimes dirty work that World Vision does. They're actually super reputable. The organization is made up of super loving folks.
Very good.
They're just some of the best humans I've ever met in my whole life. And I got to see examples of what they're doing, how they're doing it. I can't really give an accurate, quick rundown of what they do because World Vision kind of does, like, everything.
A lot of things.
Everything from being one of the biggest, if not the biggest, provider of, like, sources of fresh water in the world to empowering women and children, microloans, emergency disaster relief, establishing sources of education, sustainable everything. Like, they're all about tackling poverty in literally any way that they can that is sustainable and that the communities will then, like, be able to take and run with. They don't just, like, set up wells, take pictures, and leave. It's all about actually helping the communities, and I was just refueled and educated on more stuff that they do and problems that are out there, and I'm just, like, full of all of this goodness right now, and I would love it if anybody is looking for a humanitarian organization that is actually trustworthy and actually does stuff good. See my volunteer speaking powers in action. They do stuff good. Check out World Vision, or if you want like personal reasons why I like them and support them and more information about them, just email us. Email me. Either go to worldvision.org and check them out, and or send me an email through morbidmomentpodcast@gmail.com. I can personally vouch for these guys. They do great things, so check them out if that's something that you're interested in.
Definitely. Excellent plug. So, that'll do it for us.
Yeah.
This has been Stick Red and Toki the Sound Guy. Thank you all very much for listening, and we will be here to talk about something weird and spooky again in 2 weeks.
Thanks again, Natalie, for the suggestion. It was really good.
We love you. So until then, stay morbid.
Stay morbid. And happy early Halloween.
Ooh.
Yeah. Bye.